You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Good afternoon. The Juneau Assembly will discuss potential city service reductions at a finance committee meeting tonight. Ideas for reduction include possibly closing down city facilities like the Mount Jumbo Gym or the downtown pool. The meeting will largely revolve around a summary created by city staff that outlines more than 40 city services that could be on the chopping block. The list also includes the number of assembly members who are in a preliminary agreement to reduce or cut funding to each specific service or program. The Assembly is tasked with making those decisions as the city faces an estimated $10 to $12 million recurring budget hole. That's after voters passed a tax exemption on food and utilities and a cap on the city's property tax rate last fall. The Assembly has until July 1st to finalize the city's budget before the next fiscal year begins. All nine Assembly members expressed support for two service and expense reduction ideas. One is to sell or defer planned maintenance at the Mount Jumbo Gym facility. Another is to reduce local grants to some extent. After that, six of nine Assembly members supported reducing pool services and the Diamond Park Fieldhouse, potentially by shutting them down. There was also majority support to reduce spending on the Juneau Douglas City Museum. The Assembly is also looking at ways to increase city funding, possibly by raising utility rates or selling facilities like the Mayflower Building or the Eagle Valley Center. All proposed service reductions or increases to revenue are just that, proposed. The Assembly will discuss the ideas tonight and likely several more times before the budget is finalized, and will take public comment on any reductions before voting. Residents can give public testimony on April 29th and June 6th. In a recent city budget survey, residents chose maintenance of streets, supporting schools, and public safety as most important to fund in the budget. On the other end, residents' lowest priorities for funding were tourism management, climate action and energy efficiency, and economic development. The Assembly is expected to approve the final budget by June 15th. And the kickoff of the 2026 cruise ship tourism season is just around the corner in Juneau. The first ship, the MS Eurodam, arrives Monday afternoon. KTOO's Clarice Larson sat down with the city's visitor industry director, Alex Pierce, to learn more about what's in store this season and what residents should expect.
So first off, tell me about this year's tourism season and what can residents expect?
So kind of same as usual. We have 1.69 million visitors, which is up a little bit from last year, but not an amount that I really expect people to notice too much. We have a new cruise line calling every week. MSC Cruises, which is a European company, will be in Alaska for the first time, and they'll have a ship in Juneau every week. We also have Virgin Cruise Line coming. They only have a couple of calls, but also a brand new cruise line to the region. I think the kind of big surprise shift that doesn't necessarily affect Juneau because we have limits and caps is that the rest of the region is kind of filling up and getting busier. Ketchikan is almost as busy as Juneau this year. There were some rumors early on that they were actually going to have more people than Juneau, but they have slightly less than we do, which is still a real first. So bit of a shift for Southeast Alaska, but Juneau is kind of staying the same, which is our goal.
Right. And so this is actually the first year that we're going to see that agreed upon passenger cap. Can you explain to people who might not know about the cap, what it is and what's going to actually be going into place this year?
Yeah, for sure. So we have daily passenger cap of 16,000 people with 12,000 on Saturday. And that's down from our maximum peak days were about 21,000 passengers. Those weren't typical. They were a couple times a year. But that 16,000 number facilitates five ships with kind of one to two larger ships and requires an even distribution of people throughout the port. So hopefully the goal is that we're able to kind of adjust to operating under those parameters, and the tour operators have a sense of predictability. The city has a sense of predictability. We kind of have a steady volume that we can work towards improving our ability to manage that volume.
And do you think residents will feel that? Like, how big of an impact do you think this might be?
Honestly, I hope people don't really feel it, that it just kind of feels normal and steady. We are going to not see the crazy, crazy busy Tuesdays in the same way that we used to, those 20,000 passenger days. But other than that, really the hope is predictability, stability, trying to create a sense of kind of normalcy with with the level of tourism that we have.
Perfect. And is there anything else that you think residents should know ahead of the season that's about to kick off?
I think something that's really exciting is that the Mendenhall Glacier is staffed this year. They'll be open 7 days a week. They were not last year. And they're open from, I believe it's 9 to 6, which is a slight reduction in hours from full capacity, but a major, major change from last year. And we're really excited about that. Really excited about the ability to continue to have our marquee attraction open and available to visitors. And big shout out to everybody involved at the glacier last year. The situation was tenuous all year, and we all worked together and made it work. The other thing is we're doing major construction. We're rebuilding Marine Park. And so the food vendors are moving down near the Elizabeth Paratovich mural in the short term, and the new park is going to be great. I'm really excited about it, and construction will continue throughout the summer.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me.
Yeah.
That was Juneau's Visitor Industry Director Alex Pierce speaking with KTOO's Clarice Larson about the cruise ship tourism season kicking off on Monday. And advocates have been pushing state legislators this session to raise the age of consent from 16 to 18. Last year, the House unanimously passed a bill that would do that, but the proposal has been stuck in a Senate committee ever since. Now that proposal has new life. It's a key part of an omnibus bill Anchorage Democratic Senator Matt Clayman is looking to pass before the session ends next month. But as Alaska Public Media's Eric Stone reports, the fact that it's one of 10 bills included in the package is giving advocates heartburn.
The head of the advocacy group Standing Together Against Rape, Keely Olson, says raising the age of consent from 16 to 18 would fill a gap in existing law that makes it difficult to prosecute some sexual assaults that are committed against minors.
A lot of times, there's just not very much that can be done with a 16 or 17-year-old that's been assaulted. They bear the full weight of the evidence of being an adult. Without being an adult, they're still a child.
She's among a group of advocates who have pressured Clayman, who's running for governor, to move House Bill 101 forward. It's been sitting in the Senate Judiciary Committee he chairs since it passed the House almost a year ago. Olson and the Anchorage Daily News editorial board each published opinion columns in recent weeks calling on Clayman to advance the bill. Then, on Friday, Clayman unveiled a new package made up of 10 bills related to public safety and criminal justice, including the bill raising the age of consent. Some of the other bills in the package include the criminalization of AI-generated child sex abuse material, a bill updating laws on sexual assault by a healthcare worker, and a bill from Governor Mike Dunleavy that seeks to speed the processing of sexual assault kits and creating a tracking system. Clayman says they're all good ideas that should pass the legislature and be signed into law.
I think that if we tried to do them individually, many would not pass. And these are priorities, some of them are gaps in the law that we need to close.
But while Clayman says popular measures like the age of consent bill could propel the lower profile items in the package forward, Olson says she's not entirely convinced.
They might, or they might have the reverse effect in not being able to withstand the problems with the other bills.
And there's some precedent for that. In 2024, a similar age of consent provision Anchorage Democratic Representative Andrew Gray added to a larger bill with a handwritten amendment did not wind up crossing the finish line. For now, Olson says it's too soon to know if any of the other 9 bills could present roadblocks for the larger bill. The 55-page package just came out on Friday. Gray worked with Olson to pass the age of consent bill in the House, and he says he's glad the bill made the cut for Clayman's package. Gray says it's an important issue.
I am grateful that that policy is being prioritized by having it included in the omnibus crime package. If that's the way we get this very important change in Alaska, I support it.
Representative Sarah Vance, a Homer Republican behind a House bill that would criminalize AI-generated child sex abuse images, says she's glad to see the concept from her bill included in Clayman's package. And she says she's convinced the bill will head to Dunleavy by the time the legislature leaves town in May.
I have full confidence that everyone has a full understanding of what the bills do and won't have a problem with passage.
And Clayman says he's optimistic, too. He points to a success in 2024 when the legislature passed a wide-ranging crime package that he spearheaded on the last day of the legislative session. Clayman says he intentionally included a variety of policies in this year's bill that appealed to a range of lawmakers and to Governor Dunleavy.
And that's certainly part of the calculus. Look for pieces of the legislation that is going to have support in the governor's office, have support in the majority and the minority in both the House and the Senate. to increase the likelihood that there'll be broad support for the package.
Klayman says he plans to hold hearings on the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee this week and then move it on to its next stop, the Senate Finance Committee, next week. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Eric Stone.
An Alaska inmate died last week under the care of the State Department of Corrections, according to a press release. Daniel Sam Kashatuk was 78 years old and most recently incarcerated at the Anchorage Correctional Complex. His was a third death reported in Department of Corrections custody this year. Spokesperson for the Department of Corrections, Betsy Hawley, wrote in an email that Kashatuk's death was medically expected. At least 18 Alaskans died in state custody last year, matching the state's record number of deaths in 2022. And a key Alaska Senate committee is out with a new take on the governor's proposal to cut taxes for the Alaska LNG project, with a much, much smaller cut. The Senate Resources Committee rolled out the new version of Governor Mike Dunleavy's bill Monday afternoon. Dunleavy's bill proposed a more than 90% tax cut for the project. The Senate Resources Committee's new version would make that tax cut much smaller. Instead of a 90% cut, it'd be closer to a 15% reduction compared to what's currently on the books. Revenue from the tax would be split between the state and local communities. And Senator Forrest Dunbar, an Anchorage Democrat, said at a committee hearing Tuesday that the higher tax would still represent significant tax relief for the project.
I sort of suspect that this bill will get revised further, both here and at the Finance Committee. But if it were to pass as is, this would still represent a very large $100 million per year tax cut for the property.
But the project developer, Glenn Farn and Dunleavy, both say the changes could mean the pipeline isn't built at all. In a statement, Dunleavy spokesperson Jeff Turner says the new version of the bill, quote, puts the entire project at risk by dramatically increasing the cost of the project. He urged senators to work with the governor to produce a friendlier bill. A separate statement from Glenn Varn says the changes in the bill would ultimately raise energy costs for Alaskans, assuming the project moves forward. But the company also warned the smaller tax cut, quote, could indefinitely delay the delivery of North Slope gas as South Central Alaska stares down a looming natural gas shortage. This is KTOO.